Alan Miller, certainly not a stranger to these airwaves, but today, Alan, I think, you know, so many people are reflecting on the life and the work of Dolly Parton, not only her music, but the person that she was, the impact and legacy that she leaves behind. But you've got kind of an interesting story because you've known Dolly Parton for a very long time, and not just kind of as a radio personality, but personally.
Well, I was honored to meet Dolly Parton when she was 20 years old. I was 16. So you can imagine meeting a lady like that that's not too far away from your age and the impact it had on a young guy.
On a 16-year-old young man.
And it was something. So we met her 60 years ago, and over the years, probably the first 15 years of my career in this business, I saw her quite a bit. Since then, not so much, because she's become so popular and she has become isolated from a lot of the people that she knew back then. And my career went a different direction, and her career just went up and up and up.
Well,
movies and everything else.
Being 16 years old, how did you find yourself in the position to be around Dolly Parton?
Well, we had a band, and just like today, a lot of the big concerts that come into town, they have an opening band. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania. So there was a gig came open in Pittsburgh. So we went down, we opened the show, and Dolly Parton, and at that time she had just joined, probably maybe a month before, they had joined the Porter Wagoner Wagon Masters band. And so there was her and several other entertainers that were part of that group. And we were like the opening group, so had the opportunity to meet her. And one thing that struck me was how beautiful she was at that age. I mean, she just stood out. And some of the pictures that Catherine is going to put on Facebook today will show you the beauty of her. And Catherine, you can comment. And just the one with Dolly and Porter, I think, is where she really shines. But she was a little timid back then. I think she was in the shadows of Porter, and Porter was the star, and so she was very polite, I guess, the best way I could say. But after that, when I moved to South Carolina, there was a big package show in Greensboro, North Carolina, so we went up to visit her. Friend of mine, Ingram Truluck, we were working at WDAR in Darlington. We went up and spent some time with her in her bus and had a great time just shooting the breeze, talking about her career and what she was aspiring to do. Then later, I saw her in Nashville several times, in South Carolina MC shows at Myrtle Beach, where she was the star in Myrtle Beach, in Florence at the Southside High School, which was it was an auditorium, and I have a poster at the house, and it was $3 general admission and $5 reserved to get to see Dolly Parton and I believe maybe Conway Twitty or somebody was
at Southside High School.
Yeah, was on the same bill. So those opportunities came. Then over the years in Nashville, we would get together at different disc jockey opportunities there, and I had an opportunity to interview her many times. And we're going to play some of those interviews this Sunday night on Solid Gold Sunday night as we pay tribute to her. And one thing she did when we'd have these sessions, disc jockeys would get together. They'd select, you know, 10 or 15 disc jockeys, and they'd have maybe a dozen different entertainers that would visit with them in one big room. And she always remembered me, or acted like she remembered me. And she did a promo for her. We'd go around and say, okay, would you do me a promo? And we'd write something out. You're listening to Alan Mitch Miller. Back then I was known as the Pennsylvania Senator on WDAR. Keep listening, or something like that. And she did. She did a special one, or at least I thought it was special, that she did for me. That we have revised somewhat, and we use it now on Solid Gold Sunday night. If you ever listen to our show, 7 to 10 on Interstate 107, you'll hear this one pop up every so often. But this is the way it sounded in its raw form originally.
Hi, this is Dolly Parton, and you're in tune to the Pennsylvania Senator, Alan Mitch Miller, right here on WDAR, and we'd like to invite you to listen. I like him, and I know you will.
Oh, I love that. Isn't that great? Oh, my gosh, her voice. I like him, and I know you will. Oh, gosh.
Well, I am interested, you know, in those personal interactions, having known her when she was 20 years old, and then obviously the mega star that she became. And I think she's a little bit different than a lot of celebrities because she seemed accessible. Even as that star grew and her fame grew, you know, she seemed still like one of the people, and access to her may have been limited. Those kind of things. You may not have had the same run-ins that you did with her 40 years ago, but just her as a person, what did you see kind of as her star grew?
Well, I think from the very start, Dolly Parton was, like I said, she seemed a little shy the first time, but I probably was very shy, intimidated, not so much because she was a star, but because of her looks. Again, I was 16, she was 20, and she was a pinup girl in my mind. So, you know, getting that opportunity, there was a little shyness there, but never anything that would show that she was aloof. But after that, gosh, what I saw in her later years is the same Dolly that I saw back then. She didn't change. She was always friendly, had a little quip that she would throw at you every so often about, you know, something that happened that would be somewhat sexual. You know, she would kind of throw something out there that you could take
catch
either
off
way.
Guard a little bit. Yeah.
And she was always friendly, always had a big hug, and just she knew how to handle a crowd, and she knew how to relate to somebody whenever they spoke with her. And she was the same person back then as I saw her on screen and as I saw her over the years watching her career grow.
I think sometimes when people become big artists and very successful, they change a lot. And people say on screen and off screen are two different people. They're this grand, great person on screen. And then when you get them off screen, they're like, it needs to be this way. Very, yeah. You know, and I get the feeling that she never forgot where she came from. That she was I'd say just maybe humble even person. And she was just genuine in that she liked people. She was kind. And that's who she was on and off screen. That was her.
No doubt about it. She was an original. She started out as a smart lady. You know, that song that you just heard was one of her very earliest songs. That came out in pre-Porter Wagoner days, 1965, 1966. And it's called Dumb Blonde. And the line in there, just because I'm blonde, don't think I'm dumb. This dumb blonde ain't nobody's fool. And that's kind of the way she built her career. Like when Elvis wanted to take half the publishing on I Will Always Love You. And she said, nope, not going to do it. Even though Elvis was so big of a star then, and she had not really gone out on her own. But she wrote the song and she said, you know, it's my song. I'm not going to give half of it away. So, you know, I think a lot of people admire her for that. And that showed the business sense that she had. She knew she had a great song there and didn't want to give it up. The ladies loved her. I mean, she was like one of the girls. When she got around any of her fellow entertainers, she would just hang out with them and tell jokes and just be a part of it. She kept her private life.
Private.
Private. Yeah. Even right up to the day she died. We didn't know she had cancer. We didn't know how sick she was. 2 days ago, Peter Jennings on ABC had a little update where she came on and she said, you know, I'm feeling a little bit tough, so I'm not going to be able to make this event she was supposed to go to. But she said, I'm getting better and everything's going to be all right. And, you know, thanks all of our fans and everything. 24 hours later, we find out she dies. Mm-hmm. So she didn't want, I don't think she wanted her fans, didn't want her friends to worry about her.
Sure.
And gosh, she had the friends. I mean, I don't care if it was Beyonce or Kenny Rogers or common person like me. She made you feel that you were part of her family.
And you mentioned kind of that dumb blonde persona, but her being anything but. And I keep thinking about, you know, how often just those whip smart kind of one-liners that come out. And Catherine and I were talking earlier about how she kind of a singularly unifying person. Mm-hmm. There's not many people that can, you know, rally people from everywhere. And there was talk about, you know, people suggesting that she run for president or, you know, that has those kind of political aspirations. And her comment on that when asked about it was, there've been enough boobs in the White House.
Love it.
You know, it's you know, a pretty brilliant thing. And if she had that on the spot, you know, right away, just to be able to pull, you know, it just speaks to her brilliance.
Well, I remember asking her a question, one of our interviews, about something. There was somebody in the, I think it was Jimmy Carter, was in the White House at that time, or maybe he was running for it. And you know, I felt comfortable enough asking about her political. I said, are you going to vote for Jimmy Carter? You know, because he was a big Southern candidate. And she said, well, she said, I'm not sure yet. She said, my dad was a Republican. My mother was a Democrat. So she said, I'm a hybrid. So, you know, I really don't have any party. And she was trying to say she was independent, or she was trying to say, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to another thing where, you know, a lot of times there's personalities out there. It's like, oh, we got to figure out how to get that person on our side. Mm-hmm. Everybody, I think, felt like Dolly Parton was on their side.
And she was smart enough. She would not let people reel her in to one side or the other. And so she became just as popular on the right as she is on the left. And, you know, the different activities that have been social realities over the last 20 years, she has kept her nose clean and she stayed out of them and was able to, like you say, become friends to both sides of the aisle.
Well, Alan, we appreciate you coming in to join us here and share your stories about the personal relationship with Dolly Parton, the person rather than Dolly Parton, the celebrity. 7:23 here on Palmetto. Oh, one more thing.
I just wanted to say the last time that we saw Dolly in concert was 2016, November 2016, the Spectrum in Charlotte. And the way she came on that stage was unbelievable. They had a veil around the pedestal that was back there. And they pulled the curtain back, and they had the dramatic music going and everything, kind of like whenever Elvis would come on, there was a lot of dramatic music. And they opened it, and there was a veil that came down in a circular form around that stage, and you saw her form up there.
A silhouette, backlit.
It was there, you know, and it was just her, and she had her hand propped up on her hip, and you saw the side view of her. And it was completely still. And we didn't know if it was a statue or what it was, because she was very still. And as the music came to the crescendo, veil opened up and there she was. And the stage came down. She walked off it and went into a song. I mean,
place erupted, I'm sure.
Oh, it was a great way to end the story. But Dolly will always love you.